You are tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus from New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Vohner, and you're listening to The Public Eye right here on 90.5. As we like to say, we've got our eye on it, and we hope that you have your eye on 90.5, not only this evening, but certainly continuously throughout any given week. The broadcasting is just phenomenal, and we believe in really something for everybody. My guest this week is author Mark Kaplan, co-author of a new book, The Parenthood Advantage, Building Corporate Cultures and the Value Working Parents Bring to That Corporate Culture or any Workplace Environment. And as many of you know, many young parents especially say, oh, geez, you know, I got this great job, but, you know, we want to start a family. We want to raise a family. Unfortunately, you know, there's going to come a time when I'm going to have to, you know, leave the workforce. And, yeah, certainly this parental leave and all that has been built into our laws here in this country. But many times, you know, corporations will look at that and perhaps frown. Well, Mark Kaplan and his co-author, Mason Donovan, have pointed out that the experience of parenthood, and we all know what that's like, whether it's from newborn or dealing with teenagers or beyond, those experiences bring some very sharp skills to the workplace. So we'll begin this evening by first of all welcoming Mark Kaplan. Mark, nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Al. I'm really happy to be here.
I think I kind of got it to the point where, you know, when the book first came across my desk, I thought, oh boy, somebody must have felt some pain when they announced to their boss that they were going to start a family. And I guess I even felt that for a while. I said, you know, you're going to have to take a step back. You're going to have to devote a majority of your time to especially when they're, you know, newborns and very young, especially if you want to be a good parent. But it didn't dawn on me until I started reading your book that, you know, those skills, the skills that you hone, the skills that you learn in that parenthood process really do bring some tremendous assets to the workplace, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you say stepping back, of course, that's going to vary with individuals, right, in terms of what people need. But stepping back doesn't mean fully stepping away in terms of stepping away from your career, because that would be a real loss for oneself, but also for one's company because of the skills and abilities that you hone when you become a parent, just as you were saying.
And the thing, as you probably know this better than anyone, and we talked a little bit before broadcast, there was, I don't know if it still exists, you'd know better than I, a cloud, especially on female employees. You know, young woman comes to work, but she's got tremendous credentials, turns out to be a real asset to the organization, and then lo and behold, oh, guess what, I'm pregnant, I'm going to have a baby. Many times management has looked, at least in the past, has looked upon that with a frown and saying, oh, you know, we got this far, you know, she's in the groove, she's up to speed, you know, we're noticing some really strong advantages here and a real team player, now what? But when that person comes back, according to your book, guess what? She or he is going to be even stronger, is going to come with a whole new set of skills. And I don't think most people realize that child rearing and being a parent is in itself quite a transformative experience, right?
Absolutely. We think of it as a leadership laboratory, basically. No one thought parenthood was, you know, kind of a leadership development workshop, so to speak. But it's sort of what it is because of the skills that you develop. I mean, your parents are resilient and learn resiliency. You become a better time manager because, you know, there's certain non-negotiables, you know, when you're managing time with kids. We have two of them and they're both young. So, you know, there's things that have to get done. So the time that you have left, you have to use it well. So you become a better time manager. You become a better risk manager because you have to think about both the physical but also the psychological risk for your kids and manage that. Your emotional intelligence increases. In the interviews we did, one of the things that a number of our interviewees talked about was how much more empathy they had with their coworkers and with their teams. I remember one of the women we spoke to, who was a manager of a fairly large team, said, you know, I found myself not only more understanding of the parents, because this she had just had her first child, but I found myself more empathetic in a broader sense around my team. So the skills and the abilities that we develop and that become important, you know, these are very transferable to the workplace. I mean, they're good in general, but they're also quite transferable. You know, and you were talking about, you know, assumptions. You were talking about the experience of women and the assumptions that get made sometimes when they become parents. And what's missing in that are the assumptions are of something negative, right? Of something bad for the company. And the opportunity side, which we're talking about now, the skill development, the way someone becomes a better employee, a better resource, we've sort of ignored that side of the equation. That's what we're really trying to get at in this book.
Yeah, and I didn't mention, and I want to do so before we proceed, is that Mark is a managing partner of the Degoba Group, a global consulting firm that works with employees, with organizations in terms of inclusiveness, leadership skills, organizational cultures. So all of this really makes, you know, perfect sense. Why have a negative connotation of parenthood when, you know, you've proven, you know, you guys have been doing this for a while. You've proven that those skills that they bring back to the workforce, that they, I don't want to make it sound like, well, it's only when they're, you know, bringing the baby on board. No, once you're a parent, you're a parent. You know, yep. There's no such thing as bailing out. Well, I suppose there is, but in the norm, you're a parent forever. So each day, each week, you're learning new skills. Those new skills are being brought into the workplace. So I guess what I'm getting at, has there been a shift? Has there been a shift on the management and the corporate, you know, the high end of the corporate level, as they look at this and say, you know what, there's a lot of truth to this. You know, Kaplan and Donovan are on to something here, and we need to take a harder look and realize that these individuals who go through parenthood are more of an asset than a liability.
Yeah, I think that's what we're trying to get to, honestly. Talk to me in a year. You know, we've had more conversations when more people have read the book, and we'll see how it lands. But I think in general, I think companies have gotten better. You know, the leave has been extended in time in a lot of companies. Leave's been extended to include fathers, not just mothers. This was, of course, because of some of those assumptions, conscious or unconscious. This was assumed to be a woman's issue for so many years. But Right. Really, parents are often men and women. And so the policies have been extended to be more inclusive of men. What we find, and this really showed up in our conversations, is that those policies may be getting better, but at the senior level of companies, a lot of times the senior men in particular aren't necessarily living the policy, so to speak, right? So they're really not role modeling taking 12 weeks of leave when they have a kid. So if you're a couple of levels lower in the organization as a male employee, and certainly as a female employee, you know, you're looking at that and saying, well, they have this policy, but they're not really doing it. Is it going to be safe for my career for me to do what I really want to do? I think increasingly young men, young fathers want to spend more time at the birth of their children and during those, you know, wonderful, critical, exciting, overwhelming, exhausting first few months of their kid's life. But they're not sure that they can do it without risking their career. And we found that in the interviews we did, we found that to be a topic that came up quite frequently with the men that we talked to. You know, this is better, but, you know, I'm not so sure if I can, what are they going to think of me if I really say, yeah, you know, I'm going to take, you know, 12 weeks of leave. It's going to be acceptable.
And you know, that's how I felt reading the book. And, you know, my daughter is well beyond, you know, thank God, the changing diaper stage. She's a grown adult, but I'm still learning. She's still learning. But I thought about it. I thought, yeah, you know what? It could actually be a double whammy for a male employee because that has not been the normal. That has not been the norm. For decades, for years. I mean, motherhood was just that, mothers. Now fathers are playing an equal role in that, and many of them probably do feel that, you know, they're gonna frown on this. I may not get that promotion that I've been, you know, looking for. I've been working my tail off for all of this. So there's a heavy duty cloud that I think that hangs over a lot of guys. And again, you'd know this better than I. Not only do you have the responsibility of, especially if it's your first child, it's all brand new to you, but now you've got a fear that will I have the same level within the workplace? Will they still look upon me as a shining star? Or is this going to be a mark against me? And I don't want to see, I want to get your sense on this. I wouldn't want to see government start to legislate laws. I mean, everybody thinks, well, you know, once they write a law that says you can't do this to guys or women, blah, 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 that could take forever, for one. For two, that's almost force feeding, excuse the pun, but I would rather see people accept it. But again, it sounds like from your perspective, this is still in its early stages.
Yeah, I think so. Let me say a couple of things, Al. One is that, you know, there is this thing called the motherhood penalty, which is well documented in research, right? Women pay a career price when they have kids, and that's due to both conscious assumptions or conscious biases, and sometimes just unconscious assumptions that we make. You know, that we don't. It's not always intentional, right? What we paired with that motherhood penalty is what is called a fatherhood bonus, which is that traditionally when men became fathers, it was viewed in a positive light, right? They were viewed as more stable, more predictable, more committed, more mature. And it actually showed up in some of the pay data that in the period of time after women have children, their pay on average drops by 4%, and for men it raises by 6%. So we don't want to take away the fatherhood bonus from everybody. We'd like to extend it to everybody, right? But there is this. So when we talk about what men are struggling with, I also want to pair that with the bigger picture of how the gender dynamics are playing out. But I think I agree with your conclusion, right? I mean, men are starting to think about this in ways that are serious and important, and they're bumping up against some of these old assumptions, because some of these assumptions create challenges for women, but they can also create challenges for men as well. So I wanted to say a little bit more about that. But then when you also said something about laws, and, you know, I mean, I agree with you. I think the best way to drive change is when there's shared interest, right? When there's mutual interest. So the more that companies can understand the value add of what parents bring, then the more they are likely to change their own practices to make them more inclusive, more progressive, because it's in their self-interest. And I think that's what we're trying to do with this book, is to really show that there's a strong business case for policies and practices that are more friendly to parents, right? And the managers of these companies are the ones who often make the difference. We've been talking a lot about individual parents and their experiences. But the key lever in this whole process, at least if we're trying to create change and really make it work inside of companies, is what managers do. I mean, 80% of people will become parents at some point during their career. So that's a lot of managers. Just about every manager then of groups of people is going to be managing people who are becoming parents. So that manager's approach is what actually makes a difference. You can pass laws, and I won't argue that sometimes you need to pass laws, right? But day-to-day practices and shared self-interest is, I think, what really drives sustainable change.
I just think it's natural. I mean, the laws are important, yes, but many people look at a law that it's, you know, a heavy mandate, and nobody wants to live under those circumstances. I know I certainly don't. Before we continue, I do want to remind our listeners that my guest this week is author Mark Kaplan. His new book is The Parenthood Advantage, co-authored with Mason Donovan, Building Corporate Cultures That Value Working Parents. And I would guess, Mark, that 99% of our listeners were parents at one time and continue to be parents, while they were working, and continue to do so. And the challenges of parenthood, although they may not seem so in the beginning, but as you go through that process, and I'm thinking, okay, as you hit one of the key words that stuck out for me, empathy.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's key. Responsibility. Dedication, devotion, patience, another key word, right?
Planning.
Yes, right? I mean, those are important attributes that someone brings to an organization. And, you know, if parenthood can you know, ramp up and get somebody on board with that quicker than any other solution, then organizations and companies should be embracing it. But again, it goes back, and again, I want to get your sense on this. I don't know how it is throughout the rest of the world. You know, I just know that, you know, where the United States was, you know, was built on business. I mean, that's, you know, people become entrepreneurs. People come from all over the world to make their mark. But now we've kind of changed. I see a shift in public sentiment in so many ways. But this in particular, is there clear evidence? I know it's not going to happen overnight, and you realize that more than anybody else, but is there clear evidence that, yeah, people are seeing, management are seeing that parenthood and people who, especially as it relates to males, that, you know, they're first of all, they're entitled to this time to be with their child, and secondly, when they come back, they've taken it up a notch.
Yeah, I think there's progress. I think it's happening in the right direction. In the book, we mentioned a couple of companies. One is Salesforce. The other is Patagonia, who are really good examples of very progressive policies, very inclusive, forward-thinking policies in terms of how they manage the returnship phase. When we think about parental leave, we have three phases. Nesting, which is those few months before the child is born. The fourth trimester, which is those 3 months. I'm sure you remember that well with your daughter, that 3 months right after the child was born, and then returnship. And so we're finding that these companies are doing much better with the returnship. They're doing much better with retention. And so there's examples of good practice that are there, and there are companies that are moving forward. And I think the more we talk about this and the more companies become aware, and you know, it's really a reframing, right? I mean, this is an issue where it was like, uh-oh, and you said this earlier on in our conversation, uh-oh, so they're having a baby, right? She's pregnant, uh-oh. So the career is, she's going on to the off-ramp. This, we got to manage this. We got to staff up. It's going to be a problem. As opposed to, how do we look at this experience, the experience that parents have in the context of their whole history with the company, their whole development as a person, their development as a leader potentially? How can we think about parenthood and this time as a time of transition and transformation that's going to only make them a more valuable asset? So the more we can help companies reframe it, and managers within those companies, they're going to act differently, and it's going to have an impact. So with some companies are seeing it because they're competing for talent, of course, so they want to have an edge.
Well, here's the other thing, and we're seeing it more today, and I think obviously you know, that period during COVID certainly saw 90% or, you know, that's, I think I'm pretty accurate in saying that at some point 90% of the workforce worked remotely. Well, you can be the parent of the newborn and not lose contact and not lose the symmetry that you had. Maybe you're not in there physically, but today you've got phones, FaceTime, you can Zoom meetings. I mean, the person, the man or woman, or both, raising that child can still be a strong asset to their organization. Maybe they're not there, you know, physically 24/7, but today, because of that, you know, we've accepted it, is what I'm trying to say. We've accepted remote working. So then they're never, what I'm getting at is they're still very involved in the organization. So, you know, why frown on it? And I know we've only got a few moments left. It seems to go by so quickly. Does that help the cause?
Yeah. I mean, I lost the thread on what you were asking.
Well, being, you know, in the past, you could say, well, you know, we're not going to see you for, you know, for 12 weeks. We're not going to see you for 10 weeks, whatever it may be. Yeah. How are you going to get your work done? I know we can send you, you know, we can send through the mail. Today, everything's different. Everything's electronic. Somebody could be working remotely and still be as strong an asset to an organization as they ever were, and still be able to be there for their child. So there's, I guess what I'm trying to say is less reason, right, to say no.
Oh, yeah, I think that makes total sense. I mean, there's a couple of issues in what you're talking about. But, and one is that, and this will vary for different individuals, right? To what extent do you want to have communication with your company during that your fourth trimester, particularly that 12 weeks? And some people want to have regular updates. Some people want to have no communication unless necessary. So that's going to vary by individual. Technology makes all of that easier. But what a lot of the parents that we talked to when we did interviews said is that, gee, it would be nice if this process, the returnship, could be managed as a transition, right? It's like there, because the assumption used to be, well, you know, you go to have the baby and the switch goes off. 12 weeks later, 8 weeks later, whatever it is, you turn the switch on, you come back to work and everything is normal.
Right.
What a lot of the parents we talked to said was, actually, no. What we would like is a transition, right? Maybe initially it's 2 days back in the office and 1 day virtually, right?
Right.
Or remotely, right?
Yeah.
And that could be a process over time until somebody's ready to be full-time, if that's where they're headed back to. And what that's going to do is just help people manage that process more easily, which is only going to make them less stressed out and more effective and more valuable to the organization. So, you know, this sort of like you're either on or you're off, the switch is on, the switch is off, that just doesn't work with any kind of big transition as far as I can tell.
Exactly. And I think it's easier, as I said, easier today than ever before. So less reason to, consider an employee a liability during that period. As you said, there needs to be a transformation going on. And it sounds like that process has started. One of the key ways of doing that is starting by reading the Parenthood Advantage, Mark Kaplan's new book, because it really does highlight and from personal experiences as well, as Mark has stated, he is indeed a parent himself. So this is not just something that he decided, well, you know, let me write a book, even though I've never been down that road. He's been down that road, and I think we all have. And it's fulfilling. There's nothing that compares to it. It is very challenging. But the skills that can be brought to the workplace or to the organization are just above and beyond. So the pluses are certainly right there. Mark, real quick, if people want to reach out to you directly, obviously the book is widely available, The Parenthood Advantage. But if they want to pose questions or get more information or find out more about you and your work, how might they do that?
Yeah, so there is a website, theparenthoodadvantage.com. But there's also our company website. As you said earlier, we're an organization development, leadership development, inclusion and wellness firm, and we're called the Dagoba Group, D-A-G-O-B-A. So you can go to the dagobagroup.com for information about the book and our other work. You can also just send an email to info@thedagobagroup.com, and we'll respond quickly.
And I think it's a great, what a great topic. Up until, I think, recent time, people would say, oh, God, they're having a baby. We just lost a great employee. No, this could be, a turning point in history for both men and women, especially within the workplace. The skills that you'll come back with are just adding to what was already a fulfilling experience. So nothing to be frowned on, nothing to look down upon, just a lot of positive. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, @hotmail.com or at WICN.org. Either one, I will get back to you ASAP. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in. ¶¶